There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Yeah, and one question I was asking during the news break there, you know, as China claims that the balloon is a civilian airship, or could it be a wet market chock full of pangolins? Because, I mean, when the Chinese tell us something it's a certain way, we should believe it right off the bat, right? All right, here we go. Hour number two of Midday Mobile on this Friday. Start off with a one of those talkback messages. Remember, I told you on the app, if you'll go in there on the front page of the app, if you've downloaded it already, I hope you have. If not, do that. It's pretty cool. Just look for FMTALK 1065. No point between the 6 and 5. Just beep, get rid of it. FMTALK 1065. Look at that for the App Store if you're an iPhone user, Google Play if you're an Android user. See our logo there. That's our app. Download it. Doesn't take long. It gives you, obviously, streaming the station, show schedules, our traffic maps, the up-to-date weather information, access to our social media feeds, 55 hours a week of podcasts. The first place they post when we post them up, boom, right there to our app. You can check them out there. And one of the features also there on the front page is that microphone icon. If you press that, you can leave us a message for us to play back on the air, just like Russell did. We had that question earlier because I thought somebody said Montana, we were talking about the balloon earlier, was the least populated state in the union. And I said, no, I think it's Wyoming. And here comes a pro.
Hey, Sean, old buddy. My name is Russell. I used to work and live in Wyoming for 20 years. And as a matter of fact, just got back from there. I was out there working again for about a year and a half recently. And I'm back in Baldwin County. But anyway, Wyoming is the least populated state in the Union, including Alaska and Hawaii. It's only got about 550,000 people in it now, and it's increased a little bit. It was about 525 10 years ago, and it's the ninth largest state in the Union in size in square miles, and I think Alaska has about 1.5 million or something, but it's got fewer people.
Cuts it at the end. But Russell, I appreciate the Talk Mac message. You can do just like he did by using your FM Talk 106.5 app. You press the microphone icon there and leave us a message. So there you go. Actually, and I think one of the stats, because I pay attention to stuff like this, there were more pronghorn antelope in Wyoming than there are people. I like a state like that. I would like to move to a part-time. I don't ever want to leave here like full-time. But a state that has more of a certain kind of critter than it does human beings? Yeah, you can talk me into that for sure. All right, phone number 343-0106. Same for the text line. All right, let's see here. Let's get some text here. The EMP threat, they probably has a nuke. It does not have a nuke on it. Probably has, somebody say it probably has a nuke on it, and they're going to detonate it over the United States and create an EMP. Which, by the way, we got to get Scott B. Williams back on the show. Y'all remember, and people have been longtime listeners of Midday Mobile. I had a Facebook message with him. He's an author. I originally started finding his work because he wrote a book along with a partner about canoeing the Pascagoula River, the undammed Pascagoula. They came from like the Leaf and the Chickasaw and went the whole way down. And then I found out this guy also was a fiction writer. And he writes these books about post-EMP survival, and he builds characters. Really, Scott B. Williams is his name. I got to get him back on the show. Good guy. Good guy. Let's see. Is Balloon Boy too big to fly up there and take it over. Yeah, maybe a possibility. I like the idea of the Red Bull parachute guy. Now, Jay says Alaska has 750,000 people, nowhere near the 1.5 million, still more than Wyoming, though. All right. Unnamed texter, if this balloon floating across the sky is any indication, maybe China isn't that big and bad after all, seems pretty amateur. Also, calling them out in front of the whole world certainly seems pretty embarrassing for the big old scary China. True. Unnamed texter said, you already live in a state where there's more creatures than humans. We have mosquitoes. Okay. There you go. So does Bob says the same thing. More mosquitoes than people. So there's a thing. But it's not pronghorns. You know, not that. All right. Go to the phones now at 343-0106. First up, Jim. Hey, Jim.
Yeah. Question. I hadn't been listening to all of this, but how do they get a balloon to hover in what's usually 50 to 150 mile an hour wind blowing?
At 60,000 feet, I think it's moving along, you know, in the stream. But they also said in the press conference this morning, and Paul had talked about it last hour, that they have identified, I don't think they said how, but I'm sure through some satellite image or something, that it has boosters of some sort of propulsion system for it to move around. So maybe, you know.
It would have to, because the jet stream can blow up to 150 miles an hour.
Right, but is it doing that right now? I don't know. I mean, I know it. But the jet stream, it seems interesting. Cause I think the jet stream, I don't have a... Where's Dr. Bill? Can we get him in here? So, because right now I think the jet stream's dipping, right, through the central U.S. It's brought all that cold weather and the ice stuff. So maybe it's up above the, you know, maybe it's outside the jet stream and just moving with other... I don't know that part.
Even outside the jet stream, winds are pretty formidable at 60,000 feet.
So, I have no answer. I don't know. I don't know how it's... they just said there's some sort of propulsion system on it. I don't know why it isn't traveling at 150 miles an hour. Maybe it is. They have not given us the speed of it. I mean, it was in Montana, it seemed like, for a while, but now it's somewhere, somebody said, maybe northeast Kansas. And if it's northeast Kansas, then it is moving pretty quickly, and that would probably mean it's got caught up in the jet stream. Jim, I appreciate your call. There's a bunch of unknowns here, right? And I want to go back to one of these, this text. Oh my gosh, where'd it go? Yeah, okay, this unnamed texture. If the balloon floating across the sky is any indication, maybe China isn't that big and bad after all. Seems pretty amateur. Also, calling them out in front of the whole world certainly seems embarrassing for big old scary China. I wonder if we switch our thinking around for a second, though, through the lens of how this would be seen in China. Yeah, that's why I said, I mean, is it some kind of payback for, you know, to save face or something? Yeah. We floated then Speaker Pelosi into Taiwan, right, that they believe is part of China. So they're going to violate our airspace with a balloon and do the same thing. I don't know if they're trying to even the score in saving face, because we see it just, and I do read what you're texting here, unnamed texter. But that's seeing it through our eyes. Maybe if we look through their eyes, it's like, aha, look at this. But the rhetoric from this has gone up. It's not Pentagon officials have been, I mean, they're talking tough, but like retired generals and stuff, you know, to get on the cable news shows and go on or talk about what we need to do in response to this is ramp up, you know, support for Taiwan, even though we've given military aid. I just wonder if it's not, you know, this ambiguous relation to Taiwan, right? That we do the business with them, we sell them, you know, military equipment, and do all these things. At the same time, we don't recognize them as independent from China, on the official. Do we go and, I mean, is this the kind of, but I don't, what I don't want to do, I could lose face. I know maybe it's a bigger deal to China. If it means we lose face one time, not real military face, but like in the, oh, we got you, and it avoids World War III, I'll take that. But if we didn't do that, do we go out and say, okay, well, guess what? We're officially recognizing Taiwan as independent from China. You know, it's its own country and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's so weird because we have this kind of pact system where we're going to defend Taiwan, right? This at the same time, we don't, on the official record, recognize them as their own country. Okay, Adam says, there is a calming before the storm. Maybe China's up to something. Send the balloon to distract us, distract the USA. They will make their move. Look what we did to Japan in World War II. We sent them weather plan first. It distracted them, and then we blew them up. Sean says China's lifting their leg on us. I think there might be some of that. I really do. I think there's some, and could they be getting surveillance? Sure, they could. But maybe it's something as seen, and Sean, maybe we're on the same page. Back in China, it's like, yeah, you got them. Show them. Show them. Now, you know, they would bring one, you know, speaker to Taiwan. Well, we'll float a balloon over their whole country. You know, go China, go China, go. On the comparison on critters per person, Michael says my yard normally has at least 1,000 fire ants per citizen. So, yeah, okay. I should have picked the specific critter, you're right, before I said what I did. So I'll step back and say I was wrong in that. Yeah, it looks like Kansas now. I'm just trying to get the latest info here that people... And by the way, I checked Twitter. I mean, not all corners of Twitter, but I checked around, and there's lots of... I mean, if you type in Chinese balloon or Chinese surveillance balloon or China balloon or something like that, you get lots of news stories. But it looks like, as where I sit right now, nobody has grabbed a Twitter feed for the Chinese balloon. I'm very surprised. The internet's off its mark today. It's not doing its job, but usually somebody would have that picked up and be moving forward with it. So, you know, if you're burning through the boss's time and not really working today, maybe you do that and amuse yourself and the rest of the world take over as the Chinese surveillance balloon on Twitter. Just an idea. I'm not telling you to do it. I'm just saying it's an idea. It's out there. All right, we'll check in with the news in just a second. Also, your phone calls and text at 343-0106. And coming up, the story of Mardi Gras is told by Stephen McNair, the Moon Pie Minute, in just less than a minute here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You know, I got to tell you, I was very disappointed. And if they're listening, maybe I missed it. But very, Dan, if you're listening, Dalton, if you're listening, staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. Disappointed in the three of y'all this morning. Maybe I missed it. Maybe I just didn't hear it. I was listening on the app, although the app is very loud on my phone, full fidelity of sound. They mentioned National Weatherman's Day is on Sunday, and I did not hear the joke about the isobar. And it's like a tradition. Like I do the whiskey speech, right? We play that whiskey speech around Christmas each year on this show. And it's like a tradition. Like it's National Weatherman's Day. And then we make a joke about all of them going to the isobar. It hurt me this morning that dad joke didn't show itself. Unnamed texter, Pelosi and the balloon have the same IQ. Who would you rather take stock tips from? Unnamed texter. I'd rather go with Pelosi's stock tips. I do know that. IT Jesus, I guess this would prove those UFOs are not the Chinese. Yep, maybe. John says, how did China fly a balloon that big from there to the USA? And this is the first we hear of it. And I think I'm reading into your question. Good question, right? You think we'd be able to see that coming, but maybe the signature is like it could be, I don't know, but you know, I mean, they have the ping from aircraft, you know what it is, so we don't know what this is yet. So maybe that's maybe they knew it and they wanted to let it get I don't know. We should, I mean, our surveillance that looks west from the west coast at China should have seen that coming. Shouldn't be a big surprise, I would guess, unless there's something that keeps the signature from the balloon looking like something. I don't know. John. Adam says, no, I can't read that. I cannot read that. I could read part of it, but I'd have to stop. So Grant said they possibly released it from a ship in the Pacific. Maybe. They said that it was released from mainland China. But once again, it's China. So take it with a pinch of MSG when you hear that, right? I mean, let's buckshot the balloon down. Tim, here's the thing. What buckshot are you running? I mean, obviously, it has to be, it's going to be double odd, right? But are you running like 3.5 inch? Or are you running a 10 gauge with buckshot? It's at 60,000 feet. Maybe you got something. No, but I'm on board with the not just shooting it down, letting it careen down out of control and hit somewhere. It could be Mr. and Mrs. Smith fixing a bologna sandwich or something. You know, that's not. Yeah, it's probably not the move. All right, David responded to what I said earlier. Recognizing Taiwan is independent would be very provocative to the Chinese. That would lead us to World War III. See, will it or not? I don't, but I've been saying this. I'm on board with it not going to World War III. You know, like I said about the Russian war against Ukraine. I'm for the Ukrainians defending their own sovereignty, right? I think they should. At the same time, I'd like to find peace, wouldn't you? Like having raging wars is not. We were told that was going to be a thing of the past, right? Yeah, well, there you go. David goes on to say, if this is just a temper tantrum between two toddlers over a bag of cookies, what we should do is recognize Hong Kong as a colony of the British Empire, something ridiculous and foolish, but the next point. You know, they took over, you know, Chinese did that. They play the long game in so much. The way they did the Hong Kong takeover, and I was tempted to say without a shot fired, I think probably internally, maybe they were shot fired, but not between the English or us or China. So would not be the case with Taiwan. Taiwan's got a lot, and I know they have a backlog of stuff they're waiting for from us, but they still have the things I've seen. They've got some munitions. I don't know how long they would last against the Chinese. You go on YouTube, you'll get sucked into these wormholes on YouTube. And this is the ridiculous stuff. I guess it's telling on myself that this was ever offered. But these guys on YouTube that do mock-ups of, you know, what would happen in this conflict and that conflict, and they weigh out the known military might of one country versus the other, and they say, well, the air power of this country is better, but their surface air missiles are better for this other country, and they play these whole things out. I can't believe as an elderly man here that I've wasted that much of my life watching that. Kenny says, Sean, if you shoot it down strategically, we make a salvage. We can may salvage the solar panels and take them to the hunting camp. That would be good. I'm sure they've got some kind of solar panel. I guess. James said, got to be Wyoming. Neighbors out there are 12 miles apart. Yeah, makes good neighbors, doesn't it? IT Jesus said, if the United States knew it came from mainland China, then they would have known it's coming and could have shot it down over the ocean. Yeah, you asked that, and I think John or somebody else or unnamed texter had asked that earlier. I think that's a secondary and tertiary question when we get, when I can pry my attention away from the fact that this Chinese balloon is floating across the United States. If it came from mainland China, makes its way across the Pacific, it's not pinging a tail number on it. Maybe there's somebody who worked in that field who can tell me why not, but wouldn't we have a radar signature on that and, you know, outward looking post in Washington State or Oregon or California or all the ships at sea? We'd go, hey, there's a thing coming. Y'all know what that is? Did anybody order Chinese? Is it? All right, coming back. News is coming up next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you along. Get right back to the calls and text. First off, let's check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. And you got one of those RAV4s on the lot.
I do, Sean, and I was just looking. We've got two RAV4s. We got one for every budget. One's a 2010. It's got 101,000 miles on it, which is extremely low miles for a 10. And we got a 2018 model RAV4 also. Got a Toyota Highlander. We got a Toyota Prius. So we've got pretty much the whole spectrum of the Toyota line.
Yeah, this is what I love. If y'all want to get an idea of the inventory at LCM, earlier in the week, we were talking about work trucks, you know, and flatbeds and Tommy lifts, and now we're talking about RAV4s. You got everything.
We try to have everything, make it a one-stop shop if we possibly can. And like we've always said, if we don't have it, we'll find it for you. But we've got a little bit of everything. Anything from work trucks, vans, flatbeds, like you said, to Cadillac Escalades, to pickup trucks, anything you want.
Give people directions to come see you.
We're on Highway 90 at Plantation in Theodore. That's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. Give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Have a good weekend.
You too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. Let's see here. The text line and some of the ones that I can read, some of the ones I cannot read, which is always makes it interesting on the fly. Yeah, and by the way, my buddy CB Carl has suggested that we sponsor a balloon. One year we're going to do that. I've been in a hot air balloon. Yeah, it was like was it Gordo Mule Days? I think it was there or the fair there in Tuscaloosa. So I started working in radio while I was a student at the University of Alabama, and I worked for starting commercial radio up there and in music radio. And, you know, they'd send you out to everything. If there was an elephant coming to, you know, the circus came to town, you went and rode an elephant. There's a hot air balloon. You went and did the thing. But I think it was at Gordo Mule Days, if not the fair, which I hope they still do Gordo Mule Days. I used to have to go out to that every year and do the live broadcast from, I think I was 19 years old or something like that. Michael says the balloon is just a kick me sign on our backside. I mean, I wonder how much of this, Michael, is about. And maybe I have a two-dimensional view of Chinese culture as well, because I don't, you know, not been there, not lived there, not you know, been around native-born Chinese folks, so I don't know. But I mean, the image I get as a Westerner is that respect and face and all that is so important. So maybe it is like a, you know, haha, we got you. Look at that, we just flew over your country with a balloon. Let's see. Yeah, there's a bunch of people worried about them spying on them and their own homes. Yeah, probably not. Let's see. Wouldn't it be funny if this was somebody from New York City ordering some General Tso's chicken from Wong Fang's in Beijing? Like I said, did somebody ask for some Chinese delivery? Okay. Lisa says, Sean, here's my thought on the spy balloon. What if the war in Ukraine has been a huge distraction and depletion of equipment and funds for the U.S. while China has been preparing to launch an attack on the U.S.? Just food for thought. I can't prove that it's not. The question is on China. I don't think there's no way that they launch an attack on the United States and gain anything, right? I mean, that's one thing. We have these pretty good moats around us in the form of the Pacific, the Atlantic, and the Gulf, right? And not calling you a moat, Canada, but you got Canada as well. It's legendary, the status of how other nations see us as any desire to try to physically take over. But control of that area that is east of China, west of us, right? The Pacific, and places like Japan, places like the Philippines, places like Taiwan. That's what I think this might be about. If there is, you know, Lisa, if like you're saying, it's a distraction. So the attack would come there in their backyard. And I mean, you know, they're going to feel like, to try to, and I hate to do this because, I mean, there's, I think if you've heard me over time, there's 100% American, maybe to a fault. But if you want to play this game, those places, if you thought you could expand, I mean, Taiwan is the one that gets you because they have this idea in China that that's China. So if you flipped it around and made it, you know, like, let's say, I mean, the Chinese have had involvement in Cuba, right? So what if we felt Cuba was really part of the United States? Once again, I'm always on our side, but I try to think about how it conceived to others. And there's this robust relationship. There are these people that used to be Americans, in your opinion, that are, you know, giving you the, telling you you're number one, giving you the one finger salute. And then there's China, you know, backing them up. Is that kind of how China might see Taiwan? And because they have grown to this point of superpower, do they believe that their province outside their borders is bigger than just their borders? You know, they built the artificial islands. I don't know if they're artificial, they're islands, but they built islands to try to claim areas of the South China Sea. They put bases on those. They have, you know, flexing with their navy in those regions. Do they see that as their eminent domain? So I think there, Lisa, is where I would think the, you know, the issue may come more than, you know, in Missouri. Oh, which, by the way, Missouri, now the show me state. I just saw the headline. The balloon is over Missouri. So the show me state. Oh, and okay, some breaking. So former Vice President Mike Pence says shoot down the balloon. So there we go. So if you were, go ahead and journal that. It is Mike Pence has said shoot down the balloon. Billy says the parachute is a great idea, but what if they have a remote controlled self-destruct bomb on it for that reason? It probably doesn't scare the Red Bull guy who did that super high parachute thing, but yeah, it could be, who knows. Mr. Valentine, don't like balloons, but don't they have satellites for the same thing? Yeah, I don't know. So Mr. Valentine, what you're saying there is kind of going back to several, what I had said, and some of the texters have been saying, I wonder if it's not, because, you know, you could have satellite imagery, you could maybe even fly a surveillance plane faster. I wonder if this is not about some sort of silliness, but some whizzing contest, right? And this is somehow some proxy response to then Speaker Pelosi going to Taiwan. I don't know. I mean, it might be a stretch, but yeah, unnamed. What if it has something from the Wuhan lab in it? Well, that's what I'm saying. When they tell us, when China says that it's just a agriculture or surveillance balloon or whatever, they also told us, hey, it's just pangolins. Dr. Mariano said, hey, Sean, I think it's just one of the 99 Luft balloons that got away. We're not supposed to see the other 98. By the way, it's southeast of Anniston, according to flight radar. What? It was just in Missouri a second ago. Really? And I did, by the way, if you were not listening earlier, I did open up with Nina and the 99 Chef Luft balloon. Here's Alaska's population discussion. Definitely, IT Jesus says, definitely shoot it down if it's over Missouri. And then he added misery. So that tells me that IT Jesus must have some family or some connection there, because my dad, that's where he's from. And misery is the term they use for it. Chinese scouting us for an invasion. But here's the thing. Like somebody said earlier, I mean, there's technology. I think like Mr. Valentine said, there's technology out there to do it. I wonder if this is not more about I gotcha than it is about really getting surveillance. I completely believe it could be a surveillance balloon, but I wonder if it's not more like showing you up, gaining face back or something to that effect. Hey, as you go into your weekend and you're tripping over stuff in the garage or the shop or the house, in other words, you got junk, think about this. Set an appointment for next week to get my friend Trey and his local crew with 1-800-GOT-JUNK to come to your house. He works in Mobile and Baldwin counties. You got junk. It could be boxes in the attic. It could be, you might, once upon a time, you might have had a guest room in your house. Now it's piled full of stuff that you don't even need. Or it could be big things outside the house. It could be a storage building you need cleaned out in the backyard. You could maybe want the whole building gone. Or swing sets and trampolines and all that kind of stuff. And your youngest child's in their 30s. Maybe it's time to let that go. But what do you do? How do you get rid of it? You call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. It's my buddy Trey. Used him at home. Used him here with this radio station. Used him at storage units. getting those things cleaned out, let them do the same for you. And it's a great, easy process. First thing you do is you go online or get up, get on the Sports Illustrated football phone and call. The name is the number. So you call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go to their website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, and they're going to find a day that works for you, a period of time on that day that works for you, and they set an appointment. They show up at your house or at your shop or at your business or wherever you got the junk you need it gone. They show up there. You walk them around. You point out the junk you want gone. They'll quote you a price right then on the spot, what it's going to cost. You say yes. Boom. They get to work and get it done. And the junk is gone. And you have freedom back in your life. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right. Coming right back. Ethan Barnard from Taylor Martina Rowan joins me here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5, and good to see Ethan Barnard from Taylor Martino Rowan back in studio. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Sean.
Yeah, we are talking about driving in general here. Like, it seems a lot of times our conversations go there. You're telling stories about clients over time and the way people get injury. They go from having an accident to having an injury with an accident because of, well, you told me the steering wheel thing. Maybe we'll start with that. This is your message. This is the message that you probably tell your family and you tell your clients. If you hear that screeching behind you,
yeah,
what do we talk about? What do you do? You look up at the, you walk through. This is good. Y'all listen to this.
The two most common, or the most common wrecks we're now seeing because of cell phone uses, are rear end collisions.
Okay.
So what I'm seeing now with injuries is I'm seeing a lot of right shoulder injuries because people are wearing their seatbelt.
Okay.
But the seatbelt doesn't cover, or the shoulder harness doesn't go across their right belt. So people are seeing the car coming at them and they're bracing against the steering wheel, and it's, you're trying to stop 20,000 pounds of impact and you can't do it with your
arm. So I'm picturing what you're saying, Ethan. So that right, so it's hitting that pressure is coming through the vehicle. It's going through your right shoulder. Your arm's now braced against the steering wheel. So it impacts that.
So what's happened, literally what you're doing is when you stiffen your arm against the wheel, and you get hit from behind, the impact drives your upper arm bone into your shoulder and tears up your shoulder. And I've seen bad, bad results from that. I mean, horrible shoulder injuries as a result of that.
So instead of just, you know, obviously it's a bad thing, but what Ethan was telling us before we went on the air here is, so kind of train us, because my argument was it's going to take some training to get used to this. So I hear the screeching, I look in the rearview mirror, here comes the vehicle. What do I do?
Well, first of all, I'll tell you this. First, and this is new to me because of what I've seen so much of, is now I stop, when I stop behind a car, whether it's a stop sign, bad traffic, or stoplight, I never get close enough to them that I can't see their tires on the ground.
That's your rule of thumb.
My rule of thumb is always stay at least behind so that you can see their tires on the ground. So that if you do see somebody coming, you at least have a chance to try to get out of the way. That doesn't always work. And if you don't, then my second rule of thumb is let go of the steering wheel and pray to God.
Yeah, well, both of those are good things to be doing with this situation. But you got it, yeah. To hear it from you, and then for people to run that through their brain, because we will be overcoming a natural instinct to tense up. Oh my gosh, it's about to happen.
Right. Well, and we go back to the first part, which is wear your seat belts.
Right.
If you don't wear your seatbelts, cars are 10 times safer now if you do what they provide, if you use what they provide for you, which is a seatbelt. And now all cars have airbags so that if you do hit the car in front of you, the airbag will deploy in your face and stop a lot of that. I like having an airbag smack you in the face, but it's better than having the face become a hood ornament.
That's right.
So I tell people, wear your seatbelts. If stay far enough behind somebody so that if you do get hit, A, you want to hit the car in front of you, and
right.
B, you at least give a chance to possibly get out of the way, and C, let go of the steering wheel. You're not going to stop 20,000 pounds. It's like jumping out in front of a car and holding your arm up and saying, I'm going to stop you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not going to work. And so it's good to hear it, because now everybody's just play it over in your mind, because you have to remember this as
kind of a raw instinct as well. God forbid you look up and here comes somebody going to hit you behind. But you said this is more common as an accident these days because of texting and driving.
Yeah, you're seeing more and more and more of it. You go into an orthopedic center and look at all the people there in shoulder harnesses and shoulder slings.
So if that's the, I mean, so right shoulder injury from being hit. Okay. So
it's and I've got two of them right now myself.
Got two.
I've had three in the last year. Shoulder surgery from being rear impacted.
And you're telling people you don't want that?
No. Well,
your personal assessment, not fun?
No, I mean, I could tell. Of course, I don't want to see people get hurt.
Right.
And
right.
If you want to avoid the injury, avoid having to come hire a lawyer.
Right. And that's what I like, because, I mean, so many times you come in here, and it's not just like, okay, you've had the injury, I'm going to help you. You want to help those people, and we're going to talk about it. But you do give us ideas. And I like these axioms because they're digestible. You're not asking me to go read some book about vehicle safety and all the stuff y'all have. It's just, hey, leave space. And
wear your seatbelt.
And don't brace for impact.
Right. Wear your seatbelt. Leave space in front of you. Let go of the steering wheel if you're going to get hit from any direction.
Okay. So what you're rolling out here, while these are absolutely usable, it's kind of under the umbrella of defensive driving.
Correct.
Is that fair?
Absolutely.
Okay. So your mom and dad said, you got to be a defensive driver. You really do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And more every day. And another thing we talked about, if I can broach this, because we talked about it off there. But because I heard you talking about it, defensive driving, and then we were talking about uninsured motorists and some things you deal with. It's like, is that defensive protection or something on the roadway? I mean, you gave stories about how people don't have coverage, you know, enough coverage, or somebody hits them, has no coverage. Walk us through that.
Absolutely. I mean, I've got three cases right now where they're catastrophic injuries and nominal insurance because the defendant had a nominal amount of insurance, or for that matter, my own client didn't have any uninsured or underinsured motorist coverage. Uninsured motorist coverage is the least expensive coverage you can buy, and it's the only coverage you can buy to protect yourself. People don't understand that if you do have liability insurance, most people only have $25,000 in liability insurance. That means if it's my fault and I run into you, I've only got $25,000 in coverage.
So once that's gone,
There is no more.
See, and this is why it's important, Eaton, because I think people assume, and we can make the joke about what assuming does, but they assume that, Alabama, you have to have insurance, and it must be full coverage insurance. Everybody else out there, it's not. I mean, you deal with uninsured motorist cases a lot.
Yes. And
so it's cheap. As we get our insurance package, it's an add-on they'll probably offer. They're going to offer that, but maybe people pass it over.
Ironically, in Alabama, they're required to tell you about it, and your agent's required to make you sign something to reject it. You actually have to sign a written rejection of uninsured motorist coverage. And I think that they may have a negative impact on people's feelings because they think, well, I better sign to get rid of this because I don't want to pay for this extra coverage. But it's the most important coverage you can buy.
As we talk about defensive driving, that's a defensive insuring.
Absolutely.
As you get out on the streets.
And buy as much as you literally can afford, because it is the only thing that can protect you in the event of catastrophic.
Because, I mean, you're saying something, you talk about specific, you know, or talking about cases in general that you've dealt with, but beyond like, that underinsured part, because we assume if somebody else hits us, they did wrong, I did nothing wrong, they hit us, that there's going to be insurance to cover everything that happened to me, my loss of work, replacing the vehicle, sending me to the hospital, all that stuff. And you're saying, I'm looking at him right now, you're shaking your head. No.
No, I mean, it's
not, I mean,
more often than not, most people only have $25,000 in coverage. And if you have to have one of those shoulder surgeries because you decided to hang onto the steering wheel,
that's
going to take up that $25,000.
And then there wouldn't be any money from their insurance to pay me for anything else that happened.
No, no lost wages, no mental anguish, no pain and suffering, no nothing.
I think you're just scaring the heck out of people right now. So, you know, that they go, well, I thought that their insurance, but they could have something that low and you could eat through it. So what do you do? You get the uninsured, and you said underinsured.
It's the same thing.
Okay.
It's uninsured.
Is it going to fill in that gap?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But buy as much as you can. Don't buy as little as you can.
Right.
Because if you just buy another $25,000 in coverage, that's really not going to help you a lot. I suggest to people they buy at least $100,000 in underinsured motorist coverage, and as much as they can afford, and the insurance company will sell them.
And you said that as a total of the package of our insurance for it's nominal compared to the other parts of
Correct.
It.
It's a lot less expensive than liability insurance and collision and everything else. If you look at the sheet that, of your insurance coverage and how much you're paying for each type of coverage, it's one of the least expensive types of coverage you're paying for.
Man, I love these tips. And there's people that are going to be calling up right now to see, looking at the papers in their file at home and then saying, calling up and getting that insured. I appreciate that. That's a heads up. I didn't know about.
Yeah. And a lot of people, they'll have a junker car or a third car or something like that. And they'll just get liability on that coverage.
We did that with the old pickup when I was a kid. So
you buy it for every vehicle you have, every boat, SUV, anything that's got a motor that travels that you can get insurance for, you get underinsured
because
motorist coverage.
If they hit you, it doesn't matter what you, then
believe it or not, in Alabama, you can stack coverages. If you have three vehicles, you get all the coverage on three of your vehicles and not trying to get complicated, but if you have more than one policy, if you have more than one policy, like if you have a policy with State Farm and Allstate, then you can stack three on each policy.
Gotcha. With a multiplier effect then.
Yes.
Man, this is great information. Let's take these home with us, take them out on the road with us. If somebody unfortunately didn't listen to you beforehand, it did hold on to the wheel and gets rear-ended, how did they get in touch with you?
Well, they call me on my cell phone.
You've done this before. You can do it again? Okay, so y'all get ready because Eaton does this, and this is, I don't think it's going to make it ring a lot, but Eaton, give him your cell phone.
Yeah, my cell phone is 251-604-0400. 604-0400.
As always, I think that's pretty awesome. People can call you directly. Of course, y'all can Google Taylor Martino Rowan and get more information right there. Eaton, good to see you.
Thanks, Sean. You too.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.